Chapter 18, we're going to be reading just two verses there, 1 Kings chapter 18. Brother Derek, you mind getting me another cup of water since you drank out of mine? Anybody who knows me knows that I don't do drinking after people very well. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to be reading verses 23 through 24. When you got it, say amen. The Bible says, "Then let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the names of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Amen. Tonight, if I could title this, I would just simply preach, "Let Him Be God." Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be here. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings, God, for the presence that we feel in this place already. God, we ask you, Lord, if you would, to meet us here tonight. God, meet me up here behind this pulpit, God. Fill my mind and my mouth with the words to say. God, help me, Lord, to preach the word, Lord, like you have dealt with me. God, let the word go forth, God. Open up our ears to receive whatever you would have for us to receive. Move among us tonight. God, do a work in the altar. And we'll be sure to give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. And the church says amen. Amen. Well, tonight, we kind of just jumped right into the middle of a really busy story. If you've read this story at all, you understand. Amen. That Israel is in a 3-year drought. I mean, we understand that Elijah himself, he forewarned the people of Israel about the drought. And then we also know that God warned Israel that they would be in a drought in previous books of the Bible if they turned to other gods. I mean, you can read that in Leviticus 26, verses 18 through 19. Also, if you read over in Deuteronomy 11, verses 16 through 17. I mean, in summary, those verses, those scriptures literally just states that, you know, that the rain would be withheld from them if they turned to other gods. And that's literally just a summary of it. I mean, we understand that they have Ahab, who is the most wickedest king that has ever been king of Israel. Amen. We understand that when his father reigned in Israel, we understand that Ahab, amen, also did evil in the sight of the Lord. Amen. We also have Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, which is Ahab's wife. Amen. Painting her face and adorning herself with jewelry to attract other men and other people to worshiping her god Baal. Amen. Queen Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. Amen. But the Bible states that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Amen. You can read that over in chapter 18, verses 3. Amen. The Bible states that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Amen. I was sitting there thinking about how people nowadays, that we don't even fear the Lord. I'm not saying, you know, I'm scared of God. What about the respect that we used to have? Amen. The reverence that we used to have. Amen. I sat there and looked up that definition of fear, and it came up with reverence, and also came up with respect or standing in awe. Amen. I was sitting there thinking about just last week, we were down in North Carolina, Edenton, North Carolina. And then we went out to eat with the pastor and some of his friends. And amen. Brother Pierce was there, Jenny Hayes' daddy. He was there and he started talking about God. And he started talking about how good God was to him in his lifetime. And he started shouting while we were sitting there eating. I sat there and thought, you know, he was sitting there saying, he's like, "Lord, don't let me be ashamed to shout here. Amen. You've been good, so good to me. Don't let me be ashamed to shout, amen, right here in the middle of Nixon's." Amen. As he sat there and said that, you know, he was sat there in awe how God has been so good to him and how God has, you know, conducted his life in such a manner to where he can sit there in awe and about shout in the middle of Nixon's and say, "God has been good to this old boy. God has been good and faithful to this old boy." Why in the world are we not able to stand in awe and stand in respect to God, saying, "God has been good to us. God has been more than good to us than we have been to him." Obadiah, we read that, you know, Queen Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. We understand while reading this scripture here, like I said, it's a very busy text. Obadiah took 100 prophets and he hid them by the 50s in caves. Every single day, he would feed the prophets of the Lord. Now, as I was reading that, I was sitting there thinking, even though Israel was in a drought, even though Obadiah could have been killed because he went against the very thing that the queen said, he still took care of the prophets of the Lord. Even though Obadiah was the governor to the most wicked king in Israel, he still preserved the things of God. I was sitting there reading that. And I sat there and thought, you know, this is so convenient, and this matches to our society nowadays, in a world that calls good evil and evil good. And in a world that is full of sin and idolatry, and we have other different religions like Buddhism, and we have Muslim and other things like that, but we also have other gods in our lives, amen, like people making themselves gods unto themselves, amen. Other people are making society their god. Other people are making passions and pleasures, amen, their god. We have people in this world that are going out and, you know, making other people their god, and making other things their god. And in the midst of all this, in the midst of this sin-filled world, and then we're able to preserve the things of God. Well, Brother Austin, what are you talking about? Amen. The same presence of the Holy Ghost do I feel right now. Amen. Is the same Holy Ghost that we felt back in the day. Let me tell you this. Amen. The same standards that we have always held from the Bible, we need to hold them same standards. Amen. Society would love nothing more than for us to sit down and shut up and not say anything about what's going on in this government, what's going on in this world. But let me tell you something. I can't sit down. I refuse to sit down. I refuse to back down. I'm going to stand up for holiness. I'm going to preach holiness. Society says, do this, jump this high. And what do we see? Everybody's doing it. And it's been adopted into the church world. I heard something on the radio at work. Pope signed a paper. Said that the Catholic priests have to be completely tolerant of homosexuality. I don't care what Obama says. I don't care what the Pope says. I don't care what other type of preacher says. Homosexuality is still wrong. Amen. Let's just be forward here. Adultery is still wrong. Divorce is still wrong. I don't care what anybody else says. These things that are stated in the Bible, I will stand up for. It is wrong. Sin is still sin, no matter what shade or color it is. We let what people says, and we let what society says dictate our lives. Society says it's perfectly fine to get a divorce. It's perfectly fine to get an abortion. It's perfectly legal. Let me tell you, my Bible says it's not. The society would love nothing more than to see us sit down and be quiet. And the shame is, the church has been doing so. Well, Brother Austin, how in the world can he say that? Well, because we actually have homosexuality legalized in all 50 states now. What would have happened if the church would have stood up and said, I don't agree with that? If we would have protested, what could have happened? If we had enough of the Holy Ghost to stand up and say, I am not condoning that. I'm not okay with that. Our Bible does not allow it. Preachers are preaching messages on joy, prosperity, and forgiveness. But these preachers who are preaching these messages are preaching their congregation straight to hell. Yes, there is joy in the Lord. Like Brother Derek preached this morning, there's joy in the Lord. And the Lord does bless you. And it's not a prosperity message, amen, to say this. Amen. But the Lord will bless you financially. He will sustain you. Amen. I read in verses in the Bible, it says, I've never seen his righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He will take care of you. But there's also a flip side. You've got to crucify your flesh daily. Amen. These preachers, they get up here and they preach their congregation straight to hell. Amen. Because they don't tell them about sin, and the sin of their lives is going to take them to hell. Understand, it is vital, it is important for us to hold on and preserve the things of God, just like Obadiah did. I was sitting there thinking, me and Brother Shane were talking. I went to I'm not going to tell you what type of flavor of a church it was. I went to a church out in West Virginia. I had to go play drums for somebody. And they had their songs, and they had their drama teams get up and wave their white banners back and forth. They had their neon lights shining on the preacher. That broke my heart. How in the world can you make God's house a mockery? And then it's sad to say that these preachers are allowing these things, that they're allowing contemporary music as far as rock and roll and all that type of stuff. Well, I mean, for real, I can't even understand the rock and roll Christian music that they have. I can't understand the hip-hop mess that they have out there nowadays. Whatever happened to the old-fashioned songs like Amazing Grace and How Great Thou Art, that when this person got up there and started singing, the anointing would fall on the church and people would come up there and get saved under the conviction and the Holy Ghost's anointing. Whatever happened to songs like that? We don't have revivals like we used to have. I'm 20 years old and I've never been a part of a miracle. I have never seen someone who has cancer and has gotten healed. I have never seen someone who's blind have their eyes opened. 20 years old. And I've yet to see that in America. We may not see people getting saved by the hundreds. We may not be seeing people getting healed by the thousands. But there's still a God. There's still an anointing. And there's still a Holy Ghost and fire. And we must preserve those things. We must say, I want these things in my life, like Obadiah did. Let's look at Elijah just for a little bit. Amen. If you read in the first part of this chapter, we understand how Elijah comes into picture. Ahab sends Obadiah to go get some grass and water for the cattle. Amen. So they split the land and they go their different ways. Obadiah runs into Elijah. Elijah tells him to go tell Ahab that he is here. Amen. Obadiah tells Elijah, well, you're crazy. I'll get slayed. He'll kill me. I was supposed to kill all these prophets and you're here and you're about to kill me. You're about to get me killed. Amen. Elijah just tells him, quit being a girl. Go on. Go talk to Ahab. Amen. We read in verse 17, it says, and it came about and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. Amen. That Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Verse 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed Balaam. Whatever happened to the preachers who would mount this pulpit with swollen, dark eyes because they've been staying up all night praying through for a message to preach to their congregation? Whatever happened to the preachers who would stand up here and stand for holiness and say it is wrong to do these things? You're going to hell if you keep doing these sins. What has happened to the preachers, amen, that will do these things? What happened to the church where that old gray-headed lady would stand up and start to testify about the things of God and she couldn't even get it out? Well, Pastor, I just want to thank God for all the things. And she started shouting because God has been so good to her. Whatever happened to the men and women of God who stood for a standard? I heard a preacher preach one time. His name is Kenny Morris. And he was preaching about how this world nowadays, the church world as a whole, Brother Derek, holiness preacher, holiness pastor, and I know he won't compromise. Amen. But I just want to say this world, like I've been saying, this world has adopted this idea that it's okay to do whatever you want to. You can come up here and you can pray and we'll pray with you. You can go out and you can go drinking Wednesday night. It's okay. The church has adopted, the church as a whole, and it's sad to say, I have guys at work who won't even come to church because of this. They'll say, you can do this, you can come and you can be saved, you can be a Christian and do whatever you want to. Preachers can agree to this. It's hard to find people that are lost nowadays. Everybody's saved. Everybody's going to heaven. Smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, have pride in their lives, have lust in their lives. Come on. Well, he was sitting there and he was preaching about how these churches nowadays, they're accepting of abortions. And he was saying how there was a church down the street. He said there was a church down the street how they would say to that 16-year-old girl who was pregnant, who got pregnant out of marriage. They are saying to him, you know, it's okay, we're loving of you. We accept it, we're okay with it. Just come to church. They just want to accept her into the number of the church. They're not worried about her soul. They're saying it's okay to do this. It's okay to commit abortion. It's okay to commit fornication. It's okay. And if you ever get pregnant again, we'll fund you so you don't have to be pregnant. You're too young to be in this way. You're too young, amen, to have a baby. But let me tell you something. Don't you dare go down to Brother Derek's church, amen. He's full of bigotry. He's full of hate. He won't allow you to step foot in his church. Let me tell you something. I love that young lady who's 16 years old and who was pregnant. No, I'm not okay with the sin that she is in. Amen. But I love her enough to tell her that Jesus Christ died on the cross for her sins. Amen. And she is more than able to walk free and free from the bondage of sin. Whatever happened to preachers who would stand up here flat-footed with a backbone in their back and say, you're going to hell in the sin that you're in. I don't want to offend them. They're good tithe payers. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where the Word of God isn't supposed to offend somebody. Hello? So we read on. Elijah pretty much tells him, well, it's not my fault. I'm not troubling you. But it's because of you and your fathers. You have turned to other gods. Brother Austin, why is this world getting so wicked? Because this world has turned to other gods. Elijah pretty much tells him, let's meet up on Mount Carmel. Bring all the prophets of Baal, 400 of them. Bring all of them up. Let's meet on the mountain. They're about to have a God showdown. He says, go ahead and pick out a bullock. Go ahead and dress it the way that your God wants. Lay it upon the altar, but don't put a fire under it. The God who answers by fire, let him be God. We see that the prophets of Baal, they do exactly what he says. They start calling on the name of their gods. And the Bible said that they did it all day. And the Bible states how Elijah mocks them and says, well, maybe he's off dealing with somebody else. Maybe he's off adventuring somewhere. Maybe he's sleeping and you need to cry even the more louder. And so they did so. They started crying even the more louder, and they started cutting themselves until blood literally got on each other. And Elijah says, you know what? That's enough. That's enough. He puts an end to it. We see that Elijah took the other bullock, and he builds an altar of 12 stones in the name of the Lord. And he dug a trench around it. And he put the wood, and he sacked the wood a certain way, the way that God would accept his sacrifice. He got 4 barrels of water in the middle of a drought. Got 4 barrels of water and soaked the sacrifice, not once, but 3 times. Until the trenches were full of water. And Elijah began to say a very simple prayer. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things in thy word. Hear me, O God, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. And then fire fell from heaven. We need men and women who will get down on their knees and pray, God, I understand that this world is going down the drain every single day. This world is going to hell in a handbasket, buddy. And I tell you this, it's going down quick. It doesn't matter if Donald Trump gets president. It doesn't matter if Hillary Clinton gets into presidency. It's going down. Nothing's going to change. We need men and women who will stand in the middle of the gap and make up the hedge and say, God, please, have mercy, and please, God, show them that you are Lord. It reminded me of Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one accord in one place, the Bible says that there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, And it filled the house where they were at, all 120 of them. They were all sitting there. And it appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. Brother Austin, what's the answer to this? How in the world are we in this world that is so corrupt, in this world that wants us to sit down and be quiet? What's the answer to this? Well, preserve the things of God. Hold on to the standards. Hold on to the things that you have had in your life. Pray to God. Pray in intercession, saying, God, please send the fire down from heaven to consume these sacrifices. Please, God, send the fire down from heaven. Send the Holy Ghost to change this world. I read a story. I heard a preacher preach one time. He said there was a man by the name of Roy H. Hughes, an old Assembly of God preacher. He was over in Europe teaching for about 6 years. And he heard a phenomenon that was going on in America, and it was called the firefall. And it happened at the Yosemite National Park in California. He said every day people would gather there. And they would take logs and dead bark and dead limbs, and they would take it up to the top of a mountain, to the top of a cliff. And they would build this huge bonfire. And they would do it all day. It would be huge. Nighttime came, and they would set fire to that bonfire. And what they would do is they would go back down to the bottom of the cliff. And as they gathered there, they would scream out, "Let the fire fall! Let the fire fall!" And all of a sudden, you started hearing bulldozers start their engines. And what they would do is they would push the fire off the cliff. And they said it was the most beautiful thing you have ever seen in your life. Better than the most spectacular fireworks man has ever made. It put on the best light show. It would be the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen. Once Mr. Hughes heard that of the firefall, he made up in his mind that he was going to see it for himself. He came back to America and he goes back to the park. And he's walking around near nighttime and he spots the mountain that was stained from the black soot from the fire. And he said, "No, that's it. That's where the fire fell." And he stood there and he waited till nighttime. All of a sudden, a park ranger walks up to him and says, "Sir, this side of the park is generally closed at night. Are you okay?" He said, "Yes, sir." Mr. Hughes says, "Yes, sir, I'm fine. I just came all the way from Europe to see the fire fall." That park ranger took off his hat, held it to his heart and said, I regret to inform you, sir, the fire doesn't fall here anymore. People no longer demand the fire to fall. I could take my hat off today and say, Brother Derek, I regret to inform you, the fire does not fall here anymore. People have no longer demand for the fire to fall. I tell you this, I don't want the world to end, and I don't want to die without me seeing a miracle. I want to see revival hit America like old times, buddy. I tell you, I want to see revivals like the Azusa Street, like we were talking about. I mean, I want to see revivals where people are literally just coming up by the hundreds and getting saved, and people by the thousands and getting healed. I mean, I want to see the power of God strike America once again. And it can happen as long as we have men and women who are able to say, "Let the fire fall. Send the Holy Ghost and fire down to convict souls and get a hold of people and tell them they're going to hell." Understand, I didn't come here tonight to condemn anybody. I didn't come here tonight to be mean, to bully anybody. But I simply came here to tell you, please, encourage you, preserve the things of God. Hold on to the standards that you know and that you fully trust. Don't you give up. Don't you back down. I don't care what the preacher down the street's doing. You hold on to the truths of God. You hold on to the things of this Bible and you don't let it go. Preachers, when you mount this pulpit, preach holiness. Preach how to get to heaven. Preach that there's a Jesus Christ who requires you to crucify your flesh every single day. Congregation, it is your job, it's your obligation to pray for the fire to fall. Someone come back up to the piano. Holly. The title of my message is "Let Him
be God.
We have different gods out there, like I said, Buddhism, Muslim. We have people who are making society their god. We have people who are making possessions their god, their jobs their god, whatever. Let's show them who's God. Let's show them that there is something to live for. You don't have to be addicted to those drugs. You don't have to live in a life of sin, but you can be set free. Let Him be God in your life, in your family, at your job, at your house, in the church. Let Him be God. Send the fire down, God. Send the Holy Ghost to convict us and to get all of our lives. Send the fire down. Show us who is God again. For Austin, why is this world in the condition that it is in? Because we have failed to pray about America. Austin, I pray for America. Austin, I'm doing everything I can for the Lord. Probably not. Well, Brother Austin, how in the world can you say that? Well, the Azusa Street started with one man who had one desire, and that was for Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. If you're telling me that you have the same desire as that man, why isn't the Azusa Street hitting abundant life? Hello? Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me. I don't want to preach anything out of order, brother. I mean, tell me. If I'm out of order, you tell me. I've heard of them elderly people, them wise people who've got gray hair, whose knees are so calloused because they spent hours in prayer. And us youngins, we pray 30 minutes and think we've done something. Hello? Where a chapter a day keeps the devil away. That's funny. But it's been adopted into the church world to where we barely have people don't even know the Bible and they're teaching our kids in Sunday school. Come on now. We have people who don't even know God from Adam. Eve's Adam, not your. We have people who don't even know God from Adam singing behind our pulpits now and teaching our youngins how to get to heaven. What's the answer to this, Austin? What's the answer? I give you three things. Preserve the things of God. Hold on to the standards. Hold on to the things that God has done in your life. Preach truth. You don't have to be a preacher to preach truth. When you're at your workplace, do you agree with this? No, I don't agree with it. I have Bible to back it up. Number three, be like Elijah and call fire down from heaven. For everybody would stand. I understand. I probably preached it. I know I preached different than your pastor does. I preach different than a lot of people do. This is the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. Like I said, I'm only 20 years old, but I remember when I was 5 going to Walmart and seeing someone pray in Walmart and start shouting in Walmart. What do we have now? Us youngins are afraid and we're embarrassed for someone to start speaking in tongues when the service itself is quiet. Well, come on. We don't have an experience with God ourselves enough to pray through for America. We don't even have enough of the Holy Ghost. I hope you know I really did not come to browbeat you. I didn't come to beat you up and be a bully. But I came with a message from God. And I believe I preach what the Lord has laid on my heart. I really do. I felt it all week. While I was praying and I was studying, God, please give me a message to preach to this congregation. I don't believe that this church is compromising. I don't believe that one bit. You guys have a good pastor. He preaches to you truth. All I'm saying and all I'm trying to do is encourage you to keep going on. Keep moving on. You can be a light to this generation. You can be a light to this world. Revival can hit this church. It can start in this church. Better yet, it can start in your heart, Derek. It can start in your heart, Shane. I remember watching Landmark Youth, the little kids, the junior choir, get up there and sing, "Let it begin in me. Let it begin in me." How many women and men will stand up and say, "God, let it begin in me"? Like he preached this morning, it may hurt, buddy. It may hurt a lot. You may have to cut off your friends. You may have to cut off different things that you're holding on to. But let me tell you something. It'll be worth it all. Every single one of us can raise our hands and say, "I've lost loved ones that need to be saved." What if you were devoted to God like you need to be? Hello? Oh God, I hope I don't hurt your feelings. I hope I didn't. I just came to simply encourage you. Let God be God. Over all. Over everything. That will solve what is happening in America. The Bible talks about it. He says He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Tell me if I'm wrong, but there's never been a time where God sent revival where someone didn't pray and someone didn't have a desire. If everybody would, bow your head and close your eyes.